I just want to give my first thank to my fellow filmmakers for strengthening my faith in movies, in the power of movies to change the way we're thinking.
What I have really enjoyed about the conference is being with women over 60s and hearing their stories.
Because you can have fun like you have fun with a woman.
I would like people to feel that their life stories are worth telling, because they are.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Nigeria moves to outlaw marriage equality and rights advocacy. Golden Globes shine on queer content movies, and lesbian oldies confer to celebrate their lives. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Sherry Lund.
And I'm Rick Watts.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending January 21st, 2006. While many national and regional governments have pushed for bans on same-gender marriage, a new law pending in Nigeria not only mandates 5-year prison sentences for anyone contracting or facilitating such unions, but punishes anyone who advocates on behalf of LGBT rights of any kind. Nigerian Information Minister Frank Nweke told the BBC that his government was taking what he called this preemptive step because of developments elsewhere in the world. In most cultures in Nigeria, he claimed, same-sex relationships, sodomy and the likes of that, is regarded as abominable. The move was also seen as a reaction to developments in Nigeria's far more queer-friendly neighbor, South Africa, whose constitution specifically includes anti-bias provisions and whose high court recently ordered lawmakers to enact marriage equality legislation. The draconian measure was strongly endorsed by Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo, who cited Christian and Muslim principles as the basis for the legislation. It was supported by his political ally and friend, the notoriously anti-gay head of the Anglican Church in Nigeria, Archbishop Peter Akinola. The bill was developed and written by the Federal Executive Council and will be forwarded to the National Assembly for its expected endorsement.
An update to Estonia's family law is set to ban gay and lesbian marriages and block recognition of those performed in other countries. Several non-governmental organizations have banded together to fight the legislation and to demand passage of a civil partnership law for same-gender couples. Their letter to government officials charged that the family law banning same-sex marriages runs counter to the Constitution and fuels injustice, intolerance, and discrimination in Estonian society. The ban is a major retreat from the principles of democratic society and deserves a broad negative reaction across the European Union, the letter said. It also said that 4 to 6% of Estonian society has sent a clear message of having a strong need for an institution that would define the partner's rights and obligations in same-sex families. Family means love, a safe home, a socially secured position, common values of humanity, protection of children and assets. What kind of country would not want to support such an initiative?
And Estonia could indeed be courting trouble. The European Parliament this week passed a resolution warning that EU member states who fail to treat gays and lesbians equally could face legal action in the Court of Human Rights. The MEPs also ordered the European Commission to propose how legally married same-gender couples' rights can be protected if they decide to reside in member countries where those marriages are not recognized. The resolution called on member states to take action in the fight against homophobia, sexual orientation discrimination, and to promote and implement the principle of equality in their society and legal order. While it did not mention any countries by name, the resolution referred to a series of worrying events in a number of EU member states where gay prides or equality marches were banned, and led to leading political and religious leaders using inflammatory, hate, or threatening language. New Polish president Lech Kaczynski has been outspokenly homophobic. As mayor of Warsaw, he actively blocked pride marches there the past 2 years. Latvia recently passed an amendment to its constitution restricting marriage to a man and a woman, and Lithuania, where a similar amendment has been proposed, has also banned pride demonstrations. Polish MEP Konrad Szymański opposed the debate on homophobia as a waste of time and claimed that there is no need to organize some sort of union to protect homosexuals, as it would, quite on the contrary, undermine European integration. Openly gay British MEP Michael Cashman called for even stronger action, saying, "Where EU countries breach the human rights of gay and lesbian people, the Council of Ministers must consider action to suspend member states' membership of the EU."
Italian gays and lesbians and their supporters rallied for marriage equality in Rome this week. The crowd, estimated by police to number about 1,000, demanded both legal recognition for lesbian, gay, and unmarried heterosexual couples, and that the Pope not inject himself or the Church into the upcoming general elections there. "Let's free love from religious phobia," read one banner. The Vatican newspaper L'Osservatore Romano predictably denounced the rally as a provocation. Ministers in Premier Silvio Berlusconi's conservative government issued scathing condemnations. "These demonstrators are really nauseating," Reforms Minister Roberto Calderoli told the Italian news agency ANSA. "Family is a serious thing, based on love between a man and a woman." Pope Benedict continued his now regular attacks on gay and lesbian couples last week, saying it was a serious mistake to obfuscate the value and functions of the legitimate family based on marriage by attributing legal recognition to other forms of legal union for which there is no real social demand. But queer activists hit back with a statement reading, "What a pity the Pope has not taken advantage of the occasion to affirm that Christianity means love and acceptance of all people," it said. "The Pope has closed the door, but in any case, history does not stop at the gate of St. Peter's."
There are courtroom battles over same-gender marriage in several U.S. states, and equality advocates won an early skirmish in Maryland this week. Baltimore City Circuit Court Judge Brooke Murdoch ruled that a 1973 statute that defines marriage as between a man and a woman violates the state constitution. She stayed the opinion, however, until a higher court can review her decision, so gay and lesbian couples in Maryland can't make wedding plans just yet. As elsewhere, most pundits expect the issue to ultimately be decided by the state's Supreme Court. "Although tradition and societal values are important," Murdoch wrote in her ruling, "they cannot be given so much weight that they alone will justify a discriminatory statutory classification. When tradition is the guise under which prejudice or animosity hides, it is not a legitimate state interest." Republican Governor Robert L. Ehrlich Jr., who faces a strong challenge to his reelection bid from Baltimore Mayor Martin O'Malley, criticized the ruling and reiterated his belief that marriage should be an exclusively heterosexual institution. He did this week propose legislation that would help same-gender couples make medical decisions for one another, saying it was an alternative to a more comprehensive bill he vetoed last year that was supported by the queer community. Eric Stern, executive director of the National Stonewall Democrats, complained that a bridal registry at Target department stores would offer same-sex couples more benefits than this watered-down election year ploy by Governor Ehrlich. Same-gender couples are also suing for marriage licenses in the states of California, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, Iowa, and Washington. That state's high court is expected to issue a ruling at any time.
In Washington, perhaps strangely, gays and lesbians do not enjoy basic anti-discrimination protections. But the state house took steps toward correcting that this week. A bill to add sexual orientation to a state law that bans bias in housing, employment, and insurance was passed by a 60-37 vote, with 6 Republicans joining 54 Democrats for a wide margin of approval. Businesses with fewer than 8 employees would be exempt. Queer activists have been lobbying for an anti-discrimination bill for more than 30 years. The most recent attempt failed in the Senate last year by 1 vote. However, Republican Senator Bill Finkbeiner announced earlier this month that he would switch his vote to yes, and pundits have said that all but assures its passage. Democratic Governor Chris Grigoris said she will sign the bill if it gets to her desk.
And finally, children of gay and lesbian families plan to take part in the traditional White House Easter egg roll in April. But religious conservatives are going splat over that faster than Humpty Dumpty. Action alerts about queer plans to crash the event have been circulating on right-wing websites. It's important for our families to be seen participating in all aspects of American life, said Family Pride Executive Director Jennifer Chrysler, whose group is heading up the push for inclusion. She said Family Pride has received a flood of hate-filled, venomous messages telling us that our families aren't welcome. It's not surprising that the right would be against it, she said. They are very clear about wanting to make our families invisible. The egg roll, in which children use spoons to push colored eggs through the White House lawn in a race, has been an Easter holiday tradition in Washington since the mid-19th century. A limited number of free tickets to the event are usually handed out on a first-come, first-served basis. An ugly confrontation between GLBT families and religious conservative opponents seems almost inevitable. I'm a parent first, said Chrysler. I would never want to put my child or anyone else's child in harm's way. When asked this week if President Bush would take some action to block the children of lesbi-gay families from participating, White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan would only say, "We'll talk about it as we get closer." We wonder what Jesus would have to say about all of this.
That's News Wrap for the week ending January 21st, 2006. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written this week by Greg Gordon and John Beaupre and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Sherry Lund.
And I'm Rick Watts.
Many of them came out to the blossoming sounds of women's music. They'll be here to celebrate those continuing journeys later in the program.
Live from the Starfield International Ballroom of the Beverly Hilton Hotel, welcome to the 63rd Annual Golden Globe Awards.
Desperate Housewives, from the avowedly twisted mind of openly gay creator Mark Cherry, won the Best TV Comedy Series trophy at this year's Golden Globe Awards, but it was the movie categories that created the real buzz at this year's ceremonies, presented by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association on January 16th. In an unusual year of several politically conscious motion pictures, Brokeback Mountain led the pack with 7 nominations. It didn't win for Best Score, Best Actor, or Best Supporting Actress Drama, but it did win the Best Screenplay trophy for Larry McMurtry and Diana Ossana.
My deepest gratitude to the members of the Hollywood Foreign Press for their generous response to Brokeback Mountain and for giving us this high honor.
Brokeback's second award of the evening went to composer Gustavo Santaolalla and lyricist Bernie Taupin for Best Song, A Love That Will Never Grow Old. The irony of getting a Golden Globe from Clint Eastwood, whose tough guy movie persona was born in the Western genre, was not lost on Brokeback Mountain Best Director Ang Lee.
Wow, getting this award for this movie from the man, that was too much. Wow. This year, I have to say, I have seen and loved so many of my colleagues' films that make this award from Hollywood Foreign Press so much more special, because I think this has been an amazing year for American cinemas. So I just want to give my first thank to my fellow filmmakers for strengthening my faith in movies, in the power of movies to change the way we're thinking.
The quirky Philip Seymour Hoffman won for Best Actor Drama in the title role of quirky gay writer Truman Capote. And desperate housewife Felicity Huffman took home the Best Actress Drama trophy for her starring role as male-to-female transsexual Bree in Transamerica.
Duncan Tucker wrote a film about coming home to your family and your community and ultimately to yourself. My family is my 6 sisters and my brother and my mother, Grace, who thinks I'm on a TV show called The Women. I know as actors, our job is usually to shed our skins, but I think as people, our job is to become who we really are. And so I would like to salute the men and women who brave ostracism, alienation, and a life lived on the margins to become who they really are. Thank you.
To cap the evening, Brokeback Mountain producer James Sheamus accepted the Best Picture Drama Award.
Oh, man. I stand here next to a great Westerner, Diana Ossana, my fellow producer, and we are stunned in thanks to the Hollywood Foreign Press, to Stacey Snyder and Ron Meyer and everybody at Universal who went, sure, let's make it. Thank you. My personal thanks to our incredible cast, union cast, Jake, Annie, Heath, Michelle, and our astonishingly efficient and attractive crew. Thank you. And to you, Ang Lee, you let Diana and me help you make a movie that has made our mothers so proud. And for that, what can we say?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Miami Herald columnist Leonard Pitts may have said it best in encouraging everyone to see and judge Brokeback Mountain for themselves. I can report that it was as shattering and powerful as advertised, he wrote. People were moved. Nobody threw up. Brokeback Mountain, Capote, and Transamerica are up for awards at the British Academy Film Awards, or BAFTAs, on February 19th. It remains to be seen how the queer-laden Golden Globes wins will influence those or Oscar voters. Oscar nominations will be announced on January 31st, and the awards will be handed out on March 5th. For This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis, and you're listening to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine.
Similar events in the past had the right idea, but event planner Pat Hogan wanted to see something with a more Western flavor. This Way Out correspondent Nancy Rosenblum was among more than 160 women who heeded Hogan's call last September to the first ever West Coast Canadian gathering and conference in Vancouver, British Columbia, presented for and by lesbians 50 years old and over.
Nancy Rosenblum here at the first West Coast Women's Conference for lesbians 50 and older and our younger friends.
Here come the lesbians, here come the leaping lesbians.
Jean Duncan from Portland, Oregon, how are you this evening?
Great.
Now let me ask you, what brought you all the way up here from Portland, Oregon to lovely Vancouver?
What I have really enjoyed about the conference is being with women over 60s and just hearing their stories has really been inspiring.
Because you can have fun like you have fun with a woman.
So, tell me, what brings you all the way here from Iowa?
I don't know. I want to meet some new friends. If I could find a partner, that would be nice too.
And how old are you?
81.
Do you relate to a woman?
How old are you?
60.
60. Why are you here all the way from... Oh, you live here, you lucky gal.
I live here.
You are so lucky. So tell me what you hope to get out of this beautiful gathering.
Oh, I just think that it's wonderful that we're all of a certain age and that and it feels good to get together. I remember years ago being at a place called Queenie's and sitting nursing a drink by myself and watching other women together. It was very exclusive. Nobody invited me in. But this atmosphere is very inclusive.
It is.
We've matured.
I get a new point of view for a love that's true. I'll go find a woman who's just as sweet as you.
Mickey from Vancouver, what brings you here?
I'm here because I want to be around women my own age.
And how old is that, Mickey?
50.
50, you're yeah. Just
I'm
babe.
Just a pop. I'm just
you're,
a pop.
You
but
made
you know,
it.
Middle-aged lesbians are very invisible in our community, and a chance to be with everybody here is, I wouldn't miss it ever.
Because you needn't grow much older to know there's nothing to lean on like a woman's shoulder.
Charlotte, you come all the way here from Texas?
I sure did, honey.
What brings you all the way from Texas to Vancouver?
The love of women.
How old are you, Charlotte?
I'm 75, and my partner is Arden Eversmeyer. We're both retired, and we travel all over the country doing oral histories of women 70 plus.
Oh, he's a woman who's just as sweet as you.
I have finally caught up with the producer of this incredible event, Pat Hogan. Is there anything that you hope lesbians that have come here take away with them?
Well, I hope that women who are very closeted or sort of closeted, I hope that they can feel comfortable about being a lesbian. I hope that women can organize around issues that are important to them. This is what this kind of conference allows, is to network and to bring women together around issues.
And that is exactly what's happening at this conference. There is nonstop networking going on and a tangible excitement that just goes from one woman to the next to the next. And as for the workshops, don't even get me started on the broad range of topics. So tell me, what are you doing your workshop on?
Sex after menopause for the lesbian woman.
And how is sex after menopause for the lesbian woman?
As frequent as we can get it.
So in other words, sex after menopause is doable.
Ah, and even more enjoyable. Older women know more, care more, pay more attention. We have more time. We have learned how to love ourselves better than we ever did at 30. And when we love ourselves, we can love other women.
Sweet darling. Whoa.
I'm doing a workshop about writing the lesbian memoir.
Tell me what you would like women to take away from your workshop.
I would like people to feel that their life stories are worth telling, because they are.
I'm doing a workshop on immigration issues for folks wanting to immigrate to Canada.
I'm sure all the U.S. citizens will be at that workshop. Diane from Brooklyn, New York. Did you go to that immigration workshop today? How'd you feel about that?
You know, Chris gave a really great workshop, and all of the women there seemed to have the same feeling that we weren't moving because we feel oppressed as lesbians. It's really about the political climate right now in the United States.
What about if Bush was no longer president? You still feel like you got to get out?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I don't know. Right now, yeah. You know, you come here, everybody's happy. People are really, like, easygoing. The politics here are so great. It was like coming to a free country. It just seems like a better way to live.
And part of what makes Vancouver such a great place to live, aside from its large and out lesbian and gay communities, are its out and proud city councilor, Ellen Woodsworth, who was the guest speaker at the Friday luncheon. Was it easy to get elected as an out lesbian?
Yes, I didn't have any attacks, but I've been very active politically on social issues for all my life, so there wasn't something that they could bring out of the closet and attack me with.
And seeing as we're at the first West Coast Women Over 50 and Their Younger Friends conference, how old are you?
I'm 57.
57, and how do you feel about being here today?
Oh, it feels wonderful to be here. It's just great to look around me and see all these very experienced, wise, seasoned women who I know have effected such enormous change and are going to go on to do even more things with their lives. So it's just a pleasure to be here.
Talk about inspired. I know I've done more dancing here than I have in years. And because all the workshops have us actively participating, there's the promise of going home inspired. From more than just song and dance.
I just had a very stimulating workshop with Margot Dunn on lesbian artistic communities and talking about what we would like in the way of a creative community amongst lesbians and how we use the modern technology to facilitate that, film and the internet and emails, and we signed up to sort of have a continuing conversation between us.
And tell me your name and age.
Jillian Smith, and I'm 61.
How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
What's your name?
My name is Ruth.
Where are you from, Ruth?
I'm from Victoria.
And how old are you?
I am 61.
Have you enjoyed any workshops so far?
I have. The Before Stonewall political stuff, because I actually, even though I'm Canadian, used to hang out in New York in the very early 60s, the late 50s, and so it was like a memory going down memory lane for me, and it was cool. It was neat. I liked it a lot.
So far, how has it been for you turning into an aging lesbian?
Every year it just gets better and better.
Laura from Victoria, B.C., how you doing?
I'm doing just fine, honey.
Oh, honey, already? How nice. Tell me, Laura, how old are you?
I'm 59. I'm going to be 60 soon.
Fantastic. And so you're here celebrating that.
I am.
What workshops have you enjoyed here at this conference?
The dating and the flirting.
Hi, Carolyn Anderson. How are you?
I am just fine. I'm at a lesbian conference. How could I not be?
What brings you here from Calgary?
Lesbians over 50. One of the things that I find at home in Calgary is that lots of times women over 50 kind of disappear, and it's like they must not be lesbians around anymore. Do they get married and become straight, or what happens to them?
Are they stolen?
Well, exactly, yeah. Or do we survive past 50? And I know that friends of mine have said that, like, we don't see anyone around, so what happens to them? So when I heard that there were going to be a whole gathering on the West Coast, that's why I'm here.
What workshop did you just attend, and how was that?
I attended Lucy Blue Tremblay's breast cancer exam project. It was fabulous. And I love the energy that she creates by just getting women to share their stories and help us feel like we're family.
To everyone's delight, Lucy also entertained one afternoon.
I'm moving in your neighborhood. I'm moving in your neighborhood. A little diversity. Never hurt anybody.
But it was on the last night when Chris Williamson sang what has become a lesbian anthem, Song of the Soul, and women spontaneously jumped from their seats and started circling the dance floor hand in hand, singing along with Chris, that I, along with everyone else there, knew this conference was going to go down in her story.
All my life I am crying. I am not dying. I am dancing.
This is Nancy Rosenblum.
Planning for the next West Coast Canadian Gathering and Conference in Vancouver, British Columbia, scheduled for September 7th through 10th, 2006, is already underway. For more information, email Pat Hogan at path@lynx.net. That's path@lynx.net. Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Sherry Lund, Rick Watts, Nancy Rosenblum, John Beaupre, Rex Walkner, and Graham Underhill contributed program material. Thanks also to Rita Gonzalez. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen online to This Way Out exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to find out how you can help keep us on the air and choose from some unique queer history and culture CDs that you can own as our thanks. We've just added Stranger Than Straight from our last few programs as a specially produced half-hour collectible. That's thiswayout.org. To sign up for our weekly emailed program information messages and or our monthly This Way Out updates, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For our associate producer, Lucia Chappelle, and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on 3PVR Mill Park, Victoria, WFCS, New Britain, Connecticut, Free Radio San Diego, San Diego, California, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.